the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
The Park. We got a great crowd here,
They're fantastic.
A lot of great Bears fans.
Fantastic.
See a lot of Sox gear here, too. Now we got, look at this, in the front table, too.
Oh, Urlacher showed up.
Urlacher has joined the party. We've got a Bears fans with Bears jerseys with Mitch Trubisky, Khalil Mack, and Brian Urlacher.
Where's our Butkus jersey? Dick Butka.
We need Sarahs and Peyton to join the crowd.
If you're
in the Tinley Park area and you have a Walter Payton or Gale Sarahs jersey, come on up and join the table.
I got to know if are you a Trubisky truther? No, he says no. You just had the jersey. You have to wear it for us. Okay.
See, that's good. And we love when people know the show, too.
Yeah.
So he wore it because he knew he'd get a rise out of us. Somebody just came up, too, during the break and met both of us. And he said, he grabbed Waddle, and he gave him a hug, and he said, thanks for 85, Waddle.
And what did I say?
And you said I wasn't on the team.
I was in college.
But he's in on the bit.
Yes.
He's in on the bit.
That's right. By the way, Mitch will start the final preseason game for the Steelers. Mike Tomlin announced.
Better enjoy it because it's not going to last for much longer because Pickett's a coming. And then we had another listener come up and say that, Sylvie, I'm with you on how you consume a popsicle.
Yeah.
You either lick it or suck it. You don't bite it right away. Hey, we're talking about popsicles here. What do you mean? It's summertime. Who doesn't like a good popsicle?
I'm just telling you, I've never, even as a kid, I was not licking my popsicle.
Yeah, you're an animal. You just go right away. You're biting.
You're the kid on the corner who looks like a moron over there licking his popsicle like it's a sucker.
Let's bring in Mark Potash right now.
He doesn't want any of this.
Hold on a second, guys. Trying to run down Potsy, so give me a moment.
We're going to run down Potsy. That's fine. So we could continue Sox or what you want to see from the Bears as well.
Well, I'm interested to hear what Potsy's looking forward to in this final preseason game. I think we were both a touch surprised. I think that we were hoping for this decision, but I think we were both a touch surprised that the coaching staff said that the starters are going to play a half in this game against the Browns tomorrow night.
Well, I was more – you were right.
I think it's the right decision.
Right.
I think we're on the same page there.
Well, I was more surprised when word was leaking that they weren't going to play that.
Right.
That surprised me the most.
Yes.
Because I do believe this is the right way to go.
Was it Bigsy or somebody reported that said that this could be when they were in Seattle, that may be the last you see of this group. Now, again, I mean, I'm not trying to be critical of Bigsy because with a new regime, you're kind of trying to feel out how they handle situations.
Maybe they changed their mind.
Maybe they did
what a good football team does, and they talked about it, and they go, look, what helps our football team the most? We need more reps.
And I could not agree with them more. I think this is a very good decision in a series of, from my own personal perspective, a series of a lot of good decisions. Now, again, talent-wise, they don't match up with the mediocre to better teams in the league right now. But from a procedural standpoint and from a decision standpoint with their front office and their coaching staff, I like a lot of what I've seen them do so far.
Did you see, too, that Cleveland's going to play their starters?
Good.
So that is a good thing. Because remember the last time Justin Fields faced Cleveland.
I will say this. It's a Cleveland defense that can put a hurt on you. So you got to be aware.
That's what I'm saying. Let's see how much, the coaching makes a difference. Let's see how much experience the line can get to learn and show you who's good and who's not.
I think they're in the process of developing players as much as they are trying to get ready for a season opener. So I like the plan that they've put in place here.
Mark Potash does a great job of covering the Bears and all of Chicago sports for that matter, but he specializes in the Bears. He works for the Sun-Times, and he's an all-around great guy. Potsy joining the show right now as we're broadcasting live from Tinley Park at Cousins. Potsy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Sylvie. Tom, good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you, Potsy.
I was kind of hoping you guys would actually reel me in because I've been watching the Bears for 4 weeks, and when you watch them every day, you kind of feel like Tom does, and like anything different is good and looks better, and you kind of sometimes get this wrong impression. I'm trying to guard against that, so – I kind of need to be reeled in just a little bit on the Bears.
Why are you? Are you because you've seen it be different that therefore you've been thinking a little more positively?
Sure. Whenever you're kind of immersed in camp, it's just inevitable. You keep hearing these stories. You know, even Tevin Jenkins. You know, he was a bust 2 weeks ago. Now he sounds like the answer. You know, but is he? I mean, I don't know. In fact, to tell you the truth, I'm kind of dubious of that whole thing because they look, just to talk about the offensive line, you know, they came in, they had a chance to look at Borum and Jenkins all throughout the whole offseason program, and their decision was to sign two guys off the street, two veteran guys who, like, not anybody really wanted, you know, in Reef and Schofield, and now those two guys have lost their jobs. So what does that mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden Borum and Jenkins are suddenly good again? So I guess what I'm saying is I have no idea whether that's good or not. All I'm saying is when you're immersed in camp like we are and you really don't get as much of the outside view or just a bigger perspective, you kind of buy into all these narratives, and they always sound so good. And then, as we know, any Bear fan knows, it's always the rug gets pulled out from under you. So you got to be a little bit skeptical going into almost any season and set the bar low.
I would look at it, you know, two things, Potsy. I would say, again, I don't know how this is going to play out, but the plan makes sense to me. And maybe I'm just scarred from the previous regime where every Sunday the game plan didn't make sense to me, and then the roster construction at times didn't make sense to me. It looks like, to me, on the offensive line, what they've done is they've decided that we're going to try to develop some players, and if, oh, by the way, these guys don't develop, we've got a safety net here and a couple of veterans who may not be blue chippers, but guys we can plug and play so that the development of the young quarterback can still probably take place. And again, and the other thing I would say, Potsy, is like, I think being optimistic about some of the smaller issues doesn't mean that I think that this team's going to go out and win 11 games. It just means my anticipation is that some of it, more of it, will look like it will make sense, which will create a pretty nice base for better days ahead, hopefully.
And I agree with that, and I see that, I feel that, but I think scarred is the key word you said in that description, because we've all seen this before, and what happens is, you know, these guys have the advantage of not being Matt Nagy, of not being Ryan Pace. That's a huge advantage because everything is different. And it's like, you know, everything sounds great. You know, it's like we want our offensive linemen to be leaner and quicker and more mobile. That sounds like great coming off of what we saw. But, you know how it is with the Bears. 6 months from now, we'll be saying, you know, the Bears need to be bigger and stronger on the offensive line because they're getting pushed around. I mean, it seems like it always works out some other way. And that's skeptical, but that's what, you know, I think a lot of Bears fans kind of feel that way. But I totally understand it, and I do think, I have to say, my first impression is that this change has been good. And even something I was very skeptical about, which was the hiring of a defensive coach for a team that really needed offense, you know, I kind of buy that. I think Eberflus is going to be a really good head coach, just from the fact that, just from the very beginning, which we've kind of discussed, the fact that he's not, you know, taking over this defense. He's kind of relegating responsibility to Alan Williams and really wants to be a good head coach. Now, we kind of saw that. I mean, Matt Nagy was a good CEO coach, right, especially the first couple of years, and then it kind of fell apart from there. But I got to say, I really believe that I think the Eberflus thing has a much better chance of working. And also something else you pointed out I think is key is, we've talked about this before, the fact that it's a clean rebuild, that they're starting from scratch on both sides of the ball, I think is good. So there's a lot of positive things, but again, the total of 6.5 I really think is perfect because I think this is a 6 or 7 win team.
I agree.
But if you had to ask me what I think they're going to be, if they were going to be more, are they closer to 5 than 9, I'd pick higher. Just based on
really
not only what I've seen, but just the context of the division, you know, the schedule, the division, the way, you know, never underestimate the mediocrity of the NFL, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just the way this, from what I've seen from a new regime, leads me to think if they're going to be any different from that 6-7, it's going to be higher rather than lower.
It's good to hear you say a lot of this because I think Waddle and I have thought that some of the processes throughout the preseason have made sense, and we've always questioned the initial process of what Ryan Pace was doing or the Andy Dalton thing with trying to not even get a rookie quarterback up to speed with any reps. That being said, Potsy, how do you evaluate Justin Fields with everything you've seen from practice to the two games that you've seen him in?
Sylvie, I think he's a total X factor. I really don't know, because the thing, and I've talked to people about this, so I know it, that fundamentally that he is better. His footwork, everything about the way he actually plays a position is better. But those are things that are kind of, they're incremental, and they're very hard to discern in the context of a football game. You just don't know how much they will help. So right now, the offense does not look good. That's going to be the big, this season is all about one thing. They, by design, did not give Fields a great supporting cast, and they're counting on the scheme to put them in position to succeed and let the quarterback grow enough so that they can give him the necessary improvements, find their Jamar Chase, find their offensive lineman, whatever, in free agency in the draft next year, and then they're on their way. It's either going to succeed or fail, because if Fields does not fail, the criticism of Poles is going to be that he set him up to fail by not giving him enough support. And that's what this season is all about. Can they still develop Fields while having drafted Brisker and Gordon instead of offensive players, and paying better attention to the offense? Because they knew this is all by design. They knew that they had an offensive issue, and yet they still went defense in the draft because they feel like they can make it work. And I know I'm repeating myself, but that's what this season is all about. Will Justin Fields still be standing at the end of the year and have a chance to be a quarterback with this supporting cast? And it's a little bit of a gamble, but we'll see how it plays out.
Where are you at on Justin Fields, Potsy? Like, there seems to be this overwhelming buzz that he's just a really great player, that they've set him up to fail. What about, the possibility that maybe he's just an average quarterback, and dependent on, regardless of what you put around him, maybe his ceiling isn't as high as we all think it is. Where are you at with your thoughts on him?
I think right now he's a quarterback who needs a good supporting cast to succeed. I think eventually he has the potential to be one of those guys who can lift a good team on his shoulder and make it great. But he's not a guy who can lift a bad team on his shoulder and make it good. So that's what I would say. That's what the season is all about. This team needs to carry him a little bit, or just as much as he needs to carry it. Maybe later he'll become the quarterback they think, and with a better team, he'll be able to be the guy. But right now he needs help. He needs a good scheme. He needs a good offensive line. He needs a good running game. And he needs good weapons and productive weapons. And if the scheme produces productive weapons, if the scheme makes Equanimeous St. Brown a player, which would not be unusual, it happens in football a lot, then that's good. It doesn't mean you need the best receiver in the world to do that. But then next year, you get the best receiver in the world, and then he takes off. But I think he's got to get from the ground floor to step one this year, and then go on from there. So that's where I'm at on that. I guess what I'm saying is I think he needs help now to get to a point where he can kind of carry a team, like I said, carry a team on his shoulders and become that franchise quarterback that everybody, everybody loves.
Potsy, I'd like to get your I was having a conversation with someone about this a day or so ago. I said to this person, look, don't be shocked if you see more third and five runs or third and six runs than you're really anticipating in 2022 from this team, because it's a way to actually protect him if, in fact, the line isn't up to the challenge. And then that, I think, will incite some anger from the fan base. Oh, my God, or what are you doing running it on third and five? Can you envision a scenario where where Luke Getsy actually takes a very conservative approach, which may be the right approach, but is one that isn't accepted very much by the fan base?
Tom, I think he's gonna. I think that's gonna be like a mantra of the season, is to do that, is to be protective and a little more conservative, and to run the ball. I'm not sure about that down a distance. Last year on third and six, they were 0-17. The Bears, can you believe that? So
wow.
I mean,
yeah, I can.
Running the
I
ball, might, the running yeah. the ball on like third and five, third and six might be a better option. But anyway, to your point, yes, running the ball in general and taking the heat off of a quarterback who's not ready to be the franchise guy, I think, is just going to be a theme, I guess, of the season. That's what I sense from Getsy, knowing that he's a good offense. I think he knows he has a good offensive system coming from Green Bay, but not the quarterback. And that doesn't mean it won't work. I think you've already seen that they can do things, without having Aaron Rodgers a quarterback. Just that play that we celebrated last week, the 19-yard pass from Fields to Kmet.
That's a system play.
I'm sorry?
That's a system play. That's a play that works by design,
and you didn't need Aaron Rodgers to run it. That doesn't mean you're going to have this great offense or whatever, but at least it's a sign that what he does, that the scheme at least can be more effective than the scheme we saw before. And that goes back again to the running game, which, you know, Nagy, they didn't, if you look at the Bears statistically, they still ran the ball, but the rhythm of it, the production was just, it was so awkward. Like, I always go back to the seven runs 1 week, 37 the next. I mean, it was just, there was no rhyme or reason to it. I think Getsy will give you a running game, or at least try to give you a running game that has a little more rhyme or reason to it, a little more thought behind it, and just a little more consistency in the context of an offense that really wants to give a quarterback a chance to grow.
Our friend Mark Potash, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, joining us right now on ESPN 1000. Is Roquan Smith ready for full contact football? Are you a little nervous with a lack of training camp?
Yeah, you're always nervous. Didn't he have like a hamstring issue, like right when he came back from the rookie year?
Yes.
But he still was ready for week one. I'll be honest, that's something that I have not spent a lot of time worrying about. I think he came back to camp in enough time that he will be ready. And I think him being at camp, that hold-in part, it seemed kind of goofy to me, as an old-timer. But I think it will have a benefit because I think he really has been able to hit the ground running, at least from a training camp perspective. And I think he'll play more than 8 snaps that he did in week one in 2018, when they played San Francisco in week one this year. I think he will be ready to go. That would be my expectation.
What does your crystal ball say, Potsy, on his future? Do you believe he eventually parts ways with his team, or do you think he actually signs a long-term deal?
Well, Roquan's he's a different kind of cat, so you never really know what to expect. My guess is, just based on what I've seen with this defense before, is that he will flourish in it. He will fall in love with it. And he will be on board. The only question is, are the Bears going to be willing to pay the premium that this defense did to Shaquille Leonard in Indianapolis, that he's going to be looking for even more? Will they be able to meet his price? And that I don't know. But I do think they'll, whatever ill feelings he has towards the organization, I sense they'll be mended. I feel like the defense that he's in, I think he'll see the benefit of it. And that doesn't mean he'll stay forever, but I think it gives him a chance. I don't think he's cut it off. I don't think in his mind he's going in there thinking, the first chance I get to get out of here, I'm going to. Because he's still got 2 years he can be tagged. I mean, he's got to know that he could be here for a while. So I guess my point is, I think this defense, he will flourish in this defense. I think it's set up for him just based on what I've seen other players in this defense. And I think that will, I think that will kind of help him with any ill feelings he has towards the organization, because I think he'll see good things, come from it. The only question is, do they want to pay him? And who knows? They'll have the money. We know that.
Potsy, what will we be saying about Cole Kmet at the end of this season?
Wow, that's a tough question, because I have no idea what this offensive line is going to look like and putting the Bears in position to really make use out of him. I don't know. My thinking is, just the way this offense is set up with the wide receivers and the running backs, that he's going to have a lot more production this year than he's had. So I would say that my guess, optimistically, I would say, is that at the end of the year they'll be saying this guy is ready to take off. But I still think he has a ceiling. I don't think he's a Kelce type, but I think he'll be better than he's been. I guess that's the best way to put it. I think he'll be productive. I'm not sure if that's what you're looking for, but I think he will be productive, and I think he will be seen as part of the solution to what ills the Bears on offense at the end of this year. Because I just think the way this offense is set up, he's going to be kind of a go-to guy.
All right, I've got a few random questions for you, Potsy, and we're talking to Mark Potash.
So buckle up.
Yeah. What should happen to Aaron Donald for his helmet swinging practice against the Bengals?
What should happen to him?
Yes.
Or what will happen to him? Nothing will happen to him because he's Aaron Donald, and the Rams have all the authority on that. That's so tough. I, 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 It's hard. I would say a suspension. I think he should miss a game or two, because I just think that's your best player, and it's setting a bad example. But that'll never happen. So, I mean, discipline is a hard thing in the NFL. It's even hard just for the NFL itself. So, I don't see anything coming out of that. But yeah, that was. I thought that was terrible. That both teams were, you know, two coaches who like each other, right? Didn't make any sense. I think what bothered me most about that is that the coaches weren't embarrassed by it. That, you know, is that, oh, well, that's what, you know, guys are going to be like that, boys will be boys. I just didn't buy that. I thought that was an embarrassment.
Yeah, totally.
I think also real quick, I think you get a lot out of teams practicing against one another, and I would hate to see that become less and less common because of incidents.
What wasn't
like
it
this.
Weird though, guys, that the two teams who fought each other in the Super Bowl are practicing in the preseason? You know what? It's still fresh.
Yeah.
They played the last real game against each other for the championship. Those aren't
maybe
just two
some hurt feelings.
You know what I mean? They're not just two random teams like Detroit and Indy facing each other. I thought that was weird. No,
that is weird that they played in the Super Bowl and it was fine, and then, you know, and then. Here in a practice, they lose their minds. I don't get what it is about practice that caused that to happen. But usually the coaches, they're really sensitive to that, and they want to make sure don't start anything. So that's why it was weird. I think they had three separate incidents or three.
Well,
you know,
Potsy, somebody said this, and they were I forgot who it was. They're spot on. There's stuff that goes on in these team practices that would never occur in a game. And not just the helmet swinging, because, we did see that.
The trash talking, too.
But, yes, there are things that go on in these practices, oddly enough, that would never go on in a game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, what's weird is, like, the veteran players are usually – this is just perfunctory training camp. But for all the fringe guys, those are the guys who should be on edge because they're trying to make the team.
Right.
But it seems like it's the guys like the Leonard Floyds and the guys who are established who are causing all the trouble. I totally don't get that.
Yeah. And then before we let you go, are you – I always forget, you're a Sox fan deep down, aren't you?
No, I'm a Cubs and Sox fan, pretty much equal. I was born on the south side, and I kind of grew up on the north side, and I have been a fan of both teams. And, you know, we have this discussion all the time, and my response is the same. It's what's in your heart that counts, and I know how I feel when the White Sox lose like they have been or when they win the World Series, and with the Cubs as well. And it's I'd probably be leaning more towards the Cubs because they had the longer drought. But no, to answer your question, I am a Cubs fan and a Sox fan through and through.
What do you think about the misery lately, last night's loss?
Well, we have an hour? I mean, my gosh. it's just so typical of the White Sox. I mean, they find different ways to lose, here's what I don't get. Every time we have a guy who's going well and he like hits a bump, an acceptable bump, the bump crushes him. That one failure just crushes him. So my point is, even when they're going well, even the guys who are doing well, it's not just the Moncadas who are hitting 200. It's the guys like Liam Hendricks who, when they lose a game, it just crushes them. So I feel like they're kind of star-crossed, and I don't know what it is, but with the La Russa thing, and I kind of pull for La Russa because I don't know. Because he used to manage. I mean, he's been around for a long time, but boy, that's looking like, you know. I always say this: Tony La Russa of 2002 or 2011 would be embarrassed by the Tony La Russa of 2022.
That's
He would not approve. He would be highly critical of that Tony La Russa, because this Tony La Russa still has something left, but not a lot, and he's a shell of the manager that won all those games and all those World Series.
Yeah.
And that's where at least part of the problem is. Here's the question. Would they still be as star-crossed? Would they still be as whatever? Would they still have all these issues with if A.J. Hinch was their manager?
I don't know.
With some of the injury things,
I think that the odds would be that you wouldn't see the tactical mistakes and the number of them that occur on a consistent basis. And that was kind of what we were sold on, was that Tony was going to give this team a strategic advantage. And I think the opposite has been the case on several occasions.
But I'll tell you, Tom, what bothers me, and I know people don't agree with this, but once Jerry Reinsdorf made that decision, to me the most disappointing guy is the guy who should be sitting next to Tony La Russa to tell him to pinch run angle,
yeah, no doubt.
Or to tell him not to
no
walk
doubt.
A guy and one and two. There should be somebody keeping him kind of with it and guiding him, and that's been the big disappointment, that nobody has the stones to kind of stand up and actually help him manage, because he needs that help as a veteran coach, just like they give the bench coach to the younger guy,
right.
who needs help. And that's
they've done this thing.
They put Tony La Russa in there for whatever reason, but they haven't treated him like the manager he is. They're treating him like the manager he was, and
right.
I think that's the White Sox's biggest problem.
That's such a good line too, yeah. About the old school Tony. Potsy, great work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Potsy.
Great talking to you guys again. See you later.
He's a great sports fan here in Chicago, and, of course, a great writer. We've got Waddle's World coming up next. Come on out here. We're in Tinley Park. Cousins, the place to be. We're drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. Guys, I've been telling you for months now about Window Nation. Take it from me, one of their customers, replaced a lot of the windows in my home, something that I've known I needed to do for over 3 years, and thank goodness they found Window Nation. You can check them out at windownation.com or call my guys at 866-90-NATION. There's a family-owned business. Customer service comes first. And right now, they've got their biggest sale of the year. Get A-plus in savings. You buy two windows, you get two free with absolutely no limit. You'll make no payments, including interest, until 2025. They're going to save you money in the short term with those great deals. They're going to save you money in the long term because you're going to save money on your energy bills, the cooling, the heating in the winter. Check them out today, 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION. Talked about the customer service, A-plus rated, Better Business Bureau, 97% approval rating online. They are the absolute best in the business. Go nowhere else. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. Look at your aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class.
Making my head spin. How many activities you can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da. Yes, Waddle's World brought to you by our fine, fine friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/find us, member FDIC. I hope that's just an appetizer. Because the pizza, I just tried
the
pizza.
I know, they got great pizza here,
and
too.
The pizza
I tried it, too.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. I'm trying to drop a couple LBs.
So you're eating something that looks like three pastries.
These are eggs.
Are those good for you?
I think they're okay.
What do you mean you think they're okay?
Oh, they're high in protein.
Okay.
Eggs are good for you.
Or what would they tell you if you said if you're trying to drop weight, are those good for you?
I think it's better than eating pizza.
I don't know. Is it?
I wonder what the phantom nutritionist thinks.
Sylvie's absolutely right. Eggs over pizza every day of the week if you're trying to drop some LBs.
Well, but, I mean, they're not... They look like eggs that have been dolled up. So.
They're sous vide style. That's why.
Excuse me?
Sous vide eggs.
Does that help out? They look like they've got some cheese on them.
Little cheese.
Oh,
not a lot.
Like that's not just eggs. It's eggs with cheese, and it looks like there's some meat in those eggs.
Hey, are they going in your body or my body?
You just said that you won't have pizza because you're trying to lose some weight. I'm trying to help you.
There's not the...
I'll bring you some carrots and celery next time we go
out. Thank you. I could use that.
Hey, by the way, you want to play the game, guess the leadoff hitter?
Oh, this is for White Sox tonight?
Yeah.
Well, A.J. Pollock didn't play yesterday. He's got to be leading off, doesn't he?
Tyler asked me about this a little bit ago, so my guess is it's going to be somebody crazy.
I think that's why Vaughn was, leading off last night, because A.J.'s banged up.
He's nursing something.
Yeah.
All right.
Is your son still doing? Is your son still doing Andrew Vaughn imitations?
Yeah. Yesterday I was going to FaceTime you guys. My youngest, the 6-year-old, does an Andrew Vaughn impersonation.
Yeah.
With the eyes every time he can. And I said, "Daddy's got big." I kind of stare too. I've got that stare. Someone was busting me on Twitch the other day that I kind of had that. that Adam Gase stare going the other day.
You don't
But Braxy, like, opens up the eyes and when Andrew Vaughn. I think Tony loves Elvis Andrews. So I'm going to go with Elvis Andrews as leading off for the White Sox.
Meller, have you seen the lineup yet?
I have not, but you know what, Sylvie?
I think that's good logic.
It's Elvis night. It absolutely should be Elvis Andrews.
It's Elvis night at the Guaranteed Rate?
Tony's like the same age as Elvis. God rest his soul. I'm with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say Elvis.
You are all incorrect.
Oh, really?
That's just stupid.
Yeah, all of those
named Elvis, it should be him leading off.
Both of your guesses are in the lineup tonight. Okay. Tonight, it is Romy Gonzalez leading off.
No. Oh, my God. Romy.
He can't hit his weight.
It should be Andrews tonight leading off. That's stupid.
You have Romy.
Why would you put him at the top of the lineup? He was overwhelmed every time he stepped to the
Where
plate.
Where is he playing? Because is Elvis Andrews playing short? Well, Mankata's probably out.
He's the bullpen catcher tonight.
Romy's at second tonight. Pollock's hitting fifth. Andrews hitting sixth.
All right, give me the whole lineup because Mankata's out, right?
Mankata is, let's see, where's, yes, he is out. Josh Harrison is playing third base today.
Okay.
Andrew Vaughn hitting second. Jose Abreu at first. Jimenez in left. Pollock out in right.
Okay, Pollock
Andrews
is playing.
At shortstop.
Okay, so then now why is he leading off?
That's
Harrison,
so
seventh,
dumb.
Engel eighth, and Seppi Zavala ninth.
Everybody listen to this. A.J. Pollock is, like, hitting .320 in the leadoff spot.
You want his splits? I'll get you his.
In the leadoff spot this year, A.J. Pollock is dominating. So Tony says, let's bat him fifth or sixth, and let's put Romy up at the top of the order, who's had, like, 12 at-bats in his major league career.
And I'm
How does that make
you,
any, Sylvie, any sense?
As ridiculous as it is, as bad as the season's going right now, I absolutely would buy into the idea, let's put Elvis Andrews on Elvis night up at the top of the order.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But you know what? It's the type of stupid things that Joe Maddon would do.
Okay.
And everyone would be like, you know what? What the hell? Nothing else is going right.
Let me give you the numbers. By far, A.J. Pollock has had the most at-bats this season in the leadoff spot. In the leadoff spot, he is hitting .319. With an on-base percentage of .361, with a slug of .487, for an OPS of .847, with 4 home runs, 13 driven in, 6 walks taken, with 113 at-bats, which is close. No, it's not quite. He's hit 70 times out of the number 7 spot and 56 times out of the number 1 spot.
And what number is he hitting, 5th or 6th?
5th.
He's hitting 5th.
How do you explain this?
And Romy, a second-year player who has barely any major league at-bats, is batting leadoff.
Why?
You want to split out of the 5th spot?
Romy's hitting .308, so that's why, boys.
Oh, I got his spot. Listen, I got him right here.
Four for 15?
Yeah.
4 for 13. That's why Romy's hitting leadoff. He's hitting .308.
From the number
from
5
the fifth spot, yep.
A.J. Pollock is hitting .176 with a .222 on-base percentage, with a slug of .314 and an OPS of .536. Look,
and
Major League
strikeouts.
Baseball players should be able, if you're a good hitter, you should be able to hit 1 through 9. I get it. But when you've got a track record of 113 at-bats, and you're hitting .319 with a .361 on base percentage and an OPS of .847. Why are you batting somebody who is overwhelmed at this point as career leadoff? Give me another beer. This is like nonsense.
You're having a day.
And I'm a Reds fan, for Christ's sake.
I know, I'm a Cubs fan. None of it makes sense, Sox fans. How are you dealing with it?
Are you dealing
not
with it?
Well.
By the way, I just got a text from my wife.
Calm down on the White Sox.
No, she's not here. She doesn't listen anyway.
She used to be a huge listener. What happened?
She have a big match today?
Yes, Meller.
Yes.
She hasn't gone zero dark 30?
Their team beat. Okay, this is what my wife has done. This is the dedication that she has. She moved my daughter in, because I'm a horrible father, into Boston College as a freshman yesterday, according to Danny Zetterman. By the way, I don't know if I told you this, but I had this conversation with my wife. She said, you absolutely weren't invited for the move-in because you're only in the way we go to Bed Bath & Beyond, and you stand there and scowl at us and tell us we don't need this or this or this or this and stop spending
what
money.
Why do you guys need all those supplies? I had a crate at Boston College.
Correct.
I brought everything in a crate.
Yes.
A milk crate.
Yes.
From my doorstep in yes. Cincinnati.
You are correct. So that's the reason why she did not even want me there. Anyway, took a 6 o'clock a.m. flight out of Boston today, flew into Cincinnati, rented a car, drove to Dayton, which is about 50, 55 minutes, for her match at 2:30 Eastern time. My phone isn't participating correctly. I just got a text a little bit ago. Our team beat Michigan. It's the districts.
Oh, boy.
You got Ohio.
It's getting real.
You got Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, whatever.
Down goes Harbaugh.
They beat the Michigan team this morning. She won her match 6-2, 6-1.
Oh, domination.
Dan Campbell.
Yes. Bang. I'm getting
the card. Now you're tempting me.
Oh, you're going to eat that.
Yeah, they just brought us a large pie.
You should take those eggs and flush them in the men's room. Go straight to the pizza. That's what I would say. So anyway, I'm getting a car tomorrow. I've got two of my daughters watching the dog tomorrow. Get in the car tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Your wife's driving a star. She's a star.
Yeah, she's a champ. Despite that travel schedule, she's delivering. What'd you say, Meller?
I said, tell Coco she's coming for her. Maybe a trip on the ladies' tour for Kara.
Tell her. I didn't know what you're reading.
Now that Serena's out of the way.
Right, Serena's gone.
I gotcha.
It's sad watching Serena. She's got, is she going to win her first round match at the U.S. Open?
Probably not.
I don't know.
It's been tough.
By the way, did you see the story? Not that one about the man who got busted on his honeymoon with prostitutes. Not that one.
Yeah, no, the one that Meller. That was the one Meller sent us. What's that dude thinking?
I'm going to get to that later when we come back. I'm looking for the story about. You saw this. Do you realize that the person who won this year's $1.3 billion Mega Millions lottery has yet to claim the jackpot nearly a month after the ticket was sold?
This is the one who bought it in Displanes?
Correct. The unknown individual bought the winning ticket at a Speedway gas station in Des Plaines. I told you I probably dropped a deuce there at one point years ago. It marked the third largest single winning in U.S. lottery history and the second largest Mega Millions prize. Lottery officials said they're still waiting to hear from the winner. We don't know whether or not they even know that they won the
prize.
That's
what I mean. How many people buy it thinking we're never going to win?
Mega Millions winners have 1 year from the drawing date to claim their prize, according to lottery rules. Winners also have 60 days to choose whether they want the money to come in a lump sum or smaller annual payments. If the winner doesn't claim the prize, each state that participates in the Mega Millions lottery will get their portion returned, according to contest rules.
Now I got a smash burger in front of me, too?
Wow, yeah.
These guys at Cousins are getting it done.
I mean, how do you cut weight, Sylvie? Just shove your face with food, right?
I never should have said anything because now there's a large
I'm having eggs with cheese and meat on them to cut weight.
This would be a great spot.
A pizza omelet.
Yeah.
That's good. I should do that.
All right.
A pizza sandwich.
Got to take a break. Eggs. When we come back, I do have that story about a man who got pinched for prostitution on his honeymoon. That and more when we come back.
Bottle, tell us about Jewel Osco is.
I'm not sure I can find it. It was in front of me just a moment ago.
Jewel Osco has great produce.
Yeah. And
their
deli meat is great.
Yeah. Were you there this morning?
Here it is.
I had to pick up a pie crust for my wife.
Oh, did you get a pie crust?
I did. Great cracker.
For football teams making game day adjustments to students, parents, and teachers gearing up for a brand new school year, it's the season when so many are bound and determined to make a fresh start, but one team's been focused on freshness.
That's what I was saying.
For over a century, and that's the crew over at your local Jewel Osco. This group prides itself on bringing you top quality produce, butcher fresh meat, real deal deli items, baked goods, and so much more. You'll score all of this freshness right at your fingertips with each winning trip to Jewel Osco.
It's Miller Time.
This is a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast. It's Miller Time in Tinley Park at Cousins.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
White Sox! White Sox.
Go, White Sox.
The owner brought us that. Your pizzas are outstanding.
Delicious.
What about the burger? I haven't had the burger.
I think Tyler's got his eyes on the burger.
The sausage, and it's piping hot, too.
Yeah.
The great crust. Someone was busting my
balls.
What
were they calling this kind of pizza?
Well, someone was busting my balls on Facebook yesterday saying, Sylvia, got to stop talking about tavern-style pizza. And the way, like, from what I know, is the tavern-style pizza alludes to not only the thin crust nature of the pizza, but the way it's cut.
Okay.
You know?
In squares?
Yeah, the way it's square cut like that. And there's a lot of differences in the great types of pizza Chicago and the area produces.
It's delicious.
And you get great pizza all over Chicago, and Cousins is fantastic. So I finished my eggs, and then, of course, now I'm eating pizza. So,
trying to cut a few pounds.
And didn't work. You want to give away these White Sox tickets? Caller 7.
Yeah, let's 312-332-3776
for the Rockies series.
Oh, yeah.
So a caller 7.
Is coming back?
He's not. You asked me that last hour.
When's he coming back?
I don't know.
Is he never coming back?
Well, he's had, like, back injuries. He's had plantar fasciitis.
Have you reached out to his dad on Twitter?
I've not talked to his dad. I don't believe he's tweeting from that account anymore.
That was maybe your best investigative, accomplishment of all time. That was good.
That's what I'm known for.
Yeah. You are Dick Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just wanted to stop
you
it.
Were, right, you, right. You are Dick Tracy.
Yeah, exactly. I see what you're doing.
I have a story
Dick
for you. I need
Sylvie.
What's that?
He's Dick Sylvie.
He's Dick Sylvie? No, he's Dick Tracy.
No, he's Dick Sylvie.
I don't want to be getting in trouble, so I'm going to, after yesterday's show, which had to be turned off in many cars, traveling with children in them.
My wife was not happy. I'm like,
sure,
what do you want
wasn't
from us?
I'm sure her answer would be some maturity for the love of Jesus.
Well, that's stupid.
Now we go to this story.
No, not that one yet. I want to give you a little heads up. Multiple injuries reported at Six Flags Great Adventure Theme Park. What is going on with the roller coaster?
Well, that's not Great America, so I'm cool.
But my point is are roller coasters becoming more too fast and too dangerous?
So the ride that happened on, I looked at the pictures of it. It's basically their version of the Viper.
Oh, the wooden roller coaster, yeah.
Wooden roller coaster, yeah. It gets a little rickety, and you feel a little
unsafe.
What
happened? Like, was it someone bumping their head? Did someone fall out?
Well, there was a lot of things happening because there were multiple injuries.
Well, what happened?
First aid was dispatched because there were multiple injuries. Several guests reported back pain after riding El Toro.
Well, no. Crap.
Five guests were taken to a local medical facility for evaluation, and the ride is closed for inspection. By the way, speaking of that, have you seen the video of the giant slide in Detroit that needed to be shut down?
Was that the roller slide? The thing with the rollers?
No. You've got to see it. See if you could show him on video. It's you know, you put like the potato sacks and you slide down it's going really fast.
How about the reporter from the Dodgers who hurt himself on the Brewers
Wait
slide?
Till you see this. Like, this is totally
With the it's got the rollers or, like, the metal, yeah.
Yeah. Look at
It's a carnival slide.
The giant slide on Belle Isle in Detroit is ready for a second reopening on Friday. They've had to do some stuff to make sure that all of that was dialed back.
Look, if you're a roller coaster aficionado and you're older, I know after I go and ride the roller coasters, the chiropractor's the next stop.
That's right.
My back is all going to be my neck, my back. I'm not a kid anymore.
This is an advertised Florida or Ohio story. This is coming to you from Tampa, Florida. Man on honeymoon busted in prostitution sting. A couple's honeymoon was cut short this summer after the husband left his new wife to solicit a prostitute, according to authorities in Florida. The suspect, a 34-year-old male, was among the 176 people arrested for alleged sex crimes following a month-long prostitution sting in Hillsborough County, according to the sheriff. During his honeymoon, the man answered an ad from an undercover detective posing as a prostitute.
On his honeymoon.
He got married, and he was on his honeymoon, the sheriff said. His new bride falls asleep. He decides he's going to respond to an ad that one of their undercover officers had placed to go have sex that evening.
She just fell asleep, so, and you can't help yourself.
So he leaves and comes to the hotel and wishes to purchase sex.
There it was. Glory hole.
Well done, Miller. Well done.
Yeah, don't do that.
I like how it says the honeymoon was cut short. How about the marriage was cut short? Way short.
I know we all probably have questions about how long this marriage lasted, but I think the only question here is, with it ending so quickly, as a wedding guest, was it too late to get your gifts returned?
Yeah, no happy ending there, right?
Oh, look at you. Look at you. And that's all.
That's good stuff right there. Miller, of course, dug that one up.
All right. Of course he did.
A couple big stories going around. We have not talked a lot about the Aaron Donald thing. I'd like to get into that.
Okay.
What do you want to see from the Bears as well? And Sox fans, if you want to continue to vent, I don't understand why A.J. Pollock's not leading off today and Romy is. What happened last night? The pure craziness of the Sox season continues to spiral out of control. We are back coming up here in just a couple of minutes. As we are live in Tinley Park at Cousins, it's brought to you by Miller Lite.
With the NFL season creeping ever closer, it's time to take a look at the NFL futures. Jeff Meller here, my football friendos, with your Caesars Sportsbook Report. First things first, your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app and use the promo code RADIOFULL, that's Radio F-U-L-L, and then place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If not, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. Let's take a look at the NFL future plays as they currently stand. The favorites to hoist the Lombardi Trophy this season? How about the Buffalo Bills leading the way at plus 600, followed by Tom Brady and the Bucks at plus 750. KC and Pat Mahomes are plus 1100, while Aaron Rodgers and the Packers sit at plus 1200. The defending Super Bowl champs, a.k.a. the LA Rams, are plus 1200, while their city rival come in at plus 1,400. I'm talking, of course, about the Los Angeles Chargers. How about some win totals? Who doesn't love jumping on a number? Can Trevor Lawrence lead the Jags over 6.5 dubs? I do like the over on the Vikings at 9 right now.
You like that? You like that?
I do indeed, Kirk. The number on our hometown Bears sits at 6 if you're drinking the blue and orange Kool-Aid. So come on and join me on the Caesars Sportsbook app right now. Open to new users in Illinois who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.